That's weird. That's fucking weird. We should probably talk about it. There's a mystery here.
Oh, boy.
Here we are.
Here we are.
The last episode.
The final episode. Of That's Weird. That's sad.
Aw. Is that the new title of this podcast for just one episode? Is That's Sad.
Welcome to That's Sad. A really sad podcast about a podcast that's ending.
I'm Christy, and I perpetually have allergies and am sick.
I'm Ashley, and I'm tired and hungover, per usual. We're doing great, as you
We're
can
doing
see.
Amazing. This is going to be a good episode.
It better be a good one.
You know what?
What?
I'm just laughing at me clearing. I don't know if my topic is going to be good, but it's going to be very on brand.
Perfect.
That's what I've got for you.
That's all I've ever wanted. I have one final review to read you, Christy.
I'm ready.
You ready? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This one is from Benji Craig. It says, "My fave. I was late to the bomb party that is That's Weird. I've binged them all over the past few months, and they have grown to be my favorite podcast of all time. I am so sad that the end is near. Very spoopy stories with funny off-the-cuff humor. I mean, you will start with one episode and become quickly addicted to these toxically hilarious women." I have some questions about that. In short, let the body parts fall where they may. Don't fornicate with the ghosts. Avoid emus at all costs and sit back and enjoy all that is. That's weird.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
That's a perfect last review.
What a summary, too.
I know. Benji, you fucking knocked it out of the park.
Wow.
So good.
Great job.
And thank you to everyone who left us reviews and subscribed and rated us. And
said nice things to us and messages and emails also.
I know.
Aw, you guys are the best.
Weirdos are the fucking best. In fact, I made a little list I'm going to run through of just people we want to thank.
Yes.
Because, of course. So thank you to Aaron, who made our Facebook group back in the day. Shout out to Aaron.
Oh, yeah.
I know some of these will be throwbacks. You like haven't heard these names in a while. There's Blake from Loudmouth Threads. There's Brett Manning and Maxwell Illustration, who made our current cover art, our final cover art, which is stunning. Plus Carly from It's Not That Weird, who made our second version of our cover art.
Oh,
Shane
yeah.
and Sarah, who are friends of the pod and who have been patrons forever. And Shane actually made our first cover art ever. And Sarah took photos of us multiple times. They're wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Katie from TFGIF, which is Thank Fucking God It's Friday. That's her podcast. And everyone from Lady Pod Squad who have supported us. The Liminal Seattle guys, of course, the Planet Weird folks, Deadbeat Film Society, who had us on their pod, all the pods who either like had us as guests or did promo swaps with us or just supported what we do by retweeting and liking and following and all that. It's amazing. All of our patrons, new and old, thank you. Thanks in particular to Slops and Diamond St. Clair and Ivan and Sean and the other Sean and Anchor and Archie McPhee and Willamette Week, who have all supported us, featured us, whatever. Spotify and all of our other sponsors, thanks for giving us money. We appreciate that.
Amazing.
That's the best. There's Paul and Anna at Saturday Adventure. Thank you for all the support. Anyone who ever sent us their weird story in an email for a listener episode. I feel like I'm probably forgetting people, but just thank you to everyone, all the weirdos. We love you.
Aw, that's a good list.
I tried to, I mean, I could go on and on and on. But
you could go on and on, but this isn't Thank You, the podcast.
No.
This is That Sad.
The one and only episode of That's Sad. Yep, it is episode 100 is our final episode. After 3 years, we're calling it quits. We're moving on to other things. At the end of the episode, we'll tell you where you can find us, if you don't already know, on social media and wherever. And we'll give you kind of an idea of what we're up to. But for now, episode 100, we're going to tell you about some weird shit.
Here we go.
All right, Christy. I have got a story for you.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
It's good. Like, I'm 100% okay going out with this one. It's super fun. It's kind of long. And the topic idea was given to me by someone I've already thanked, our resident meme-making weirdo, Ivan, who is wonderful.
Oh, yay.
This was totally his idea. And what a gift Ivan has been to us. Ivan, please let me know if you don't have literally all of our merch, because please, yeah, just tell me, because I'll send you a pin and a tote and everything else you deserve.
Please.
Please. Anyway, get ready. This is the story of a man who had many, many names. His real name was Roy Sullivan, but he was also known as Spark Ranger or Lightning Man, because he had the unfortunate curse of being struck by lightning more times than any other human.
What?
He's in the Guinness World Records and everything.
Oh my God. Yes.
This poor dude. Oh my God. He was struck by lightning 7 times.
Oh my God. Why is it like a magic unlucky number of times too?
I know. 7. Very odd. And speaking of odds, the odds of somebody being struck by lightning 7 times is 4.15 in 100. Like, I can't even say the number. It's so big. There's 32 zeros.
Oh my God.
Those are the odds. This dude was like naturally electric. I don't know.
Number one, what did this man do? And if not anything, then number two, have you seen Hereditary, and does this have something to do with that?
Ooh, I still have not seen Hereditary. Is there a lightning situation?
Absolutely not, but you know.
Interesting. Okay.
It's definitely like somebody brought like a demon to Earth, and like, I just feel like it's got to be a situation like that.
I mean, you never know. So Roy Sullivan was born in Virginia in 1912. He's known as the most famous ranger in the history of Shenandoah National Park. So he was a park ranger, Christy.
Wow.
And he did that job for almost 50 years, which is nuts considering he was being struck by lightning like left
the
and right.
The whole time.
Just the whole fucking time.
The whole, like, just every...
every few years, little lightning.
What's 50 divided by 7?
Mother of God. Christy, why do you do this to us? 50 divided by 7. 7.
It's a little 7 bit more again. Than 7. Ashley, 49.
7.
Is 7 times 7.
Yes.
It's like the only thing that I know. It's the only multiple of 7 I know.
We know our times tables. Leave us alone. Just it's hard to times. It's hard to do. It's hard to do math while you're recording a podcast.
It's hard to times things together.
It sure is.
When you're such a fucking mess, you know?
When you are just the worst. That's us.
Please, I'm sorry. Continue. But also, that means he got struck by lightning once every 7 years, 7 times over the course of his career.
Those 7s keep coming back. That's interesting.
The devil's after him.
I think he thought that too.
I would too.
Ugh, yikes.
All right. Anyway, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's a lot to take in. It's quite
trying to
the story.
Get this numerology settled over here.
That's true. I wonder what like the number 7 in numerology means, if it has anything to do with lightning or electricity, or
it just literally means lightning. Also, if I may, so stupid, this one's dumb, I was gonna say, like, of all the numbers, 7 looks the most like lightning.
Fuck. That is dumb, but I'll allow it.
That one's too dumb. Strike that from the record. That one is stupid.
Strike that from the record is how you should have always said cut that. You know what I mean? Strike that from the public record that is this podcast.
Man. Whew. Missed opportunity.
I know. Fuck. We're going to have a lot of those, I think.
Okay, please proceed.
I almost said we've had a lot of missed opportunities in our 100 years. It's only 3 years, 100 episodes.
Oh my God.
Okay, Roy Sullivan. Let's get back to, I'm sorry, now that you know what he did.
Get back to Roy already.
Now that you know what he did for a living, how much do you love his nicknames?
So
Spark
much.
Spark Ranger and Lightning Man. Ooh, boy.
I love it.
Okay, so in all of that time, the almost 50 years that he worked as a park ranger, he was struck by lightning first in 1942 when he was hiding from a thunderstorm in one of those like fire lookout towers in the woods, which is a bad place to be. And the tower had just been built, so they hadn't put a lightning rod there yet. I guess that's what they usually do.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So he was the lightning rod in that
occasion. He was a human lightning rod for sure.
Oh, no.
So lightning hit that tower 7 or 8 times while he was inside. And he said that he basically saw fire like jumping all over the place inside of there around him, which is horrifying. So he decided to fucking make a run for it. And he left the tower.
I mean, that's fair.
This was a bad situation no matter what he did. But when he left, that's when he was hit by lightning. And this first strike was also the worst one injury-wise. It burned a stripe down Roy's right leg. It blew off the nail on his big toe, which caused blood to spurt out of his foot. And it also left a hole in his boot where, I guess, the lightning exited his body.
This sounds horrifying.
Being struck by lightning is horrifying. It ain't great. Touché. I wouldn't recommend But yeah,
on my bucket list, that's for sure.
Hashtag no thanks.
No, thank you.
Then in 1969, nice, Roy was hit by lightning again, this time while driving in his truck, which is really strange because you're supposed to be pretty safe from lightning in a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, according to HowStuffWorks.com, you're safe in a car because the lightning will travel around the surface of the vehicle and then go straight to the ground. Like the metal being a good conductor would direct the current around the objects and then like discharge it safely to the ground, I guess. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I've always heard that.
Yeah. I've always heard that if you're in a car, you're probably going to be okay. And then you got the rubber tires and that's supposed to help. I don't know.
Yeah. But you want to be on the inside of the car, not the outside of the car, which is something that I learned for some reason and distinctly remember. As if you'd need to learn it.
That was really something that had to be taught?
I don't know. That's what I remember.
They're like, you can't just run up to a car. You have to get inside of it.
If it's lightning outside and you're in a car, you're okay. As long as you're in the car and not on the outside of the car. Because a car is metal.
Interesting. Christy, what kind of class? You took a lightning class? Lightning safety?
Yes, I'm actually certified in lightning safety.
Well, where were you during all of Roy's life? Because, fuck, he could have needed it.
In the ether, I guess.
Yeah. Truly, this was before your time.
Truly, it was literally before my time.
But yeah, so this second lightning strike, it really fucking wanted to get Roy. He was in a car, and it hit a few trees around the car first, and then it somehow, like, ricocheted and got through the open window. Roy, why was your fucking window open?
Oh my God.
And it struck him that way.
This is ridiculous.
That lightning wanted his ass. And this time it burned off his eyebrows and his eyelashes and it set his hair on fire.
Oh my God.
The worst. And another absolutely batshit tidbit about this particular strike is that the truck that he was in must have still been in drive or neutral. Like he was actually driving it when he was struck because it kept moving after he was hit by lightning until it miraculously stopped near the edge of a cliff.
What?
Like nature wanted this guy dead, but then someone else didn't want him. You know what I mean? Like someone kept saving him.
Ashley.
It's wild.
What's going on with this man?
This man had a life. What a wild ass life. Some stories. What? Yeah. It's crazy.
Okay, so this is only 2 of 7.
Yeah, girl, that's only the first 2. Then in 1970, Roy was struck by lightning again, this time in his front yard, and it scorched his left shoulder. He had all kinds of scars
from this. Obviously. I'm exhausted for him.
This poor man. Then in 1972, he was struck a fourth time inside his ranger station, and this one set his hair on fire again, which I can't believe he even still had hair at this point.
Oh my God. At what point do you think he was just like, yeah, this happens? Do you think like he went through life eventually being like, ugh, I got struck by lightning again, and everyone was like, what the fuck, Roy? And he was just like, that doesn't just happen. I thought it was just like a nature thing, you know?
He said, that doesn't happen to other people, just me?
That's not just a thing. Like, sometimes you go outside, sometimes it's raining, sometimes you get hit by lightning.
He's like, I got to go buy some new boots this weekend. I got hit by lightning again. Don't you hate when that happens? And they're like, Roy.
Roy, honey, what is going on?
Girl. Yeah. Actually, it's funny that you asked that, because after this fourth strike, Roy really started to like question everything. He started to believe that some kind of supernatural force was trying to destroy him, and he was really fearing for his life. Like, you think, Roy? What the fuck?
Yeah, obviously. Like, I rarely am I just without skepticism like, no, this crazy guy is right, but like, he's right.
That dude's right.
That dude's correct. Like, something is trying to get him.
But do you, that makes me think, like, why? Like, what did he do to make nature so angry? Or like, did he just have terrible luck?
I don't know.
Poor Roy.
Poor Roy.
Also, this reminds me that, of course, there is an X-Files episode related to this topic. There always is.
Of course.
It's called DPO. There's a bunch of lightning related deaths in that episode, and I won't give it away, but Jack Black and Giovanni Ribisi are in it. It's like very,
oh my God,
very 90s, very good stuff.
Wow. Oh, Jack Black.
Oh, Jack Black. All right, back to Roy.
Right, back to business.
Okay, so yeah, Roy is getting pretty paranoid at this point, and with good reason. He had
been
struck
by lightning.
Yeah, this is
number four.
Yeah, he struck by lightning fucking four times, and it was accelerating. Like, he went most of his life without being struck by lightning, and then they just started coming, like, quicker and quicker. The years between strikes were getting smaller and smaller. like, the last one, it was like 1970, then 1972, and then in 1973, so just like the next year, he got the fifth strike.
Wow.
In that one, a big storm came in. Roy was working, of course, and he hurried to get out of the park as fast as he could. He says this time he actually saw a storm cloud form and follow him in his truck. Like, the storm was coming for him.
Oh no.
He thought he could outrun it, which, that's cute, I guess. But sadly he could not. And even though, I don't know, this one I don't really understand. Like, he was in the park and there's a storm, and so he gets in his car, which he's been struck in his car before. So like, what are you doing, Roy? And he drives as fast as he can, trying to get away from it. And he must have gotten home, I guess, or somewhere where he felt safe, because he got out of the car. And that's when he was struck. Like, as soon as he left his truck, the lightning went ka-tink and just got him. That's the sound of lightning, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Roy. I'm truly shocked that he's alive. Like, how do you go into your fifth lightning strike still alive?
Oh, my God.
Like, how was he even able to function? Or, like, not just in excruciating pain 24/7 or paralyzed or something, you know? He was still working.
Like, he doesn't even seem like he's, like, too crispy at this point. He's just...
Yeah, how is he not covered, like, 90% of his body covered in burns or something? He's relatively fine other than some scars and shit.
Other than some scars and that time that his toenail got blown off.
Yeah, and he just needed, like, new boots and a new hat, and he was good to go. Which is crazy.
Oh my gosh.
So this time, the fifth time, the lightning went all the way down his left side, knocked his shoe off, and then somehow bounced back up his right side. Sadly, his hair caught fire again, which is like, fuck. Fuck, Roy.
Oh my God. Most men worry about losing their hair at his age. And he's just sitting there with his hair on fire, you know?
By the way, Roy looked a lot like Gene Hackman, that actor. If you want a picture, Gene Hackman,
no.
That's Roy. In a park ranger, like, outfit.
Oh, my God.
Poor Roy.
Oh, Roy.
So at this time, Roy had started actually carrying water cans in his truck, because his hair kept catching on fire, and so he was able to put himself out at least.
Oh.
And this continued. That was only number five. We've got two more to go.
Oh, God. Imagine.
I know. Fucking Roy. So in 1976, Roy was struck again and just hurt his ankle that time. Well, his hair caught fire again, which is
wild. No!
But he just hurt his ankle.
And well, his hair caught fire again.
Always that hair. Well, it's because there's some, I'll post pictures in my show notes, but he's usually wearing his Ranger hat and the lightning goes right through the top of his head. So like it strikes through the hat and you can see the
How
burn
does
marks.
He still have a brain left?
Exactly.
Won't it melt? Like what happened? Like
he's got like the worst luck, but also the best luck that this keeps happening to him, but he's fine.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. And Christy. So that was the sixth strike. Wait until I tell you about the seventh because
oh my God.
It's the craziest one yet. And the seventh came in the year 1977. More sevens.
Oh.
Very interesting.
Wow.
So this happened in June. Roy was out fishing in the park and I have to assume that there were no warning signs of the storm or he just like stopped caring because if you saw some lightning in the distance, wouldn't you drop your fishing pole? Wouldn't you?
I would like, do something. I'd do something.
Just do something. Roy's fucking standing in some water with a fishing pole and there's a
He's
storm.
He's like, you know what? Try me.
He said, bitch, I dare you.
Come get
you.
Me, bitch.
Oh my God. So yeah, he's fishing, he's in the water or near the water, it's confusing, and a lightning bolt, sure enough, hits the top of his head for the seventh fucking time. It sets his hair on fire, as it does. But this time it also burns his chest and his stomach, which is rough.
Oh.
And then, Christy, buckle up, while he was standing there being assaulted by lightning, a fucking bear rolls up and tries to steal his fish. And so Roy, who had just...
I'm sorry, what?
it gets better. Roy, who had just been struck by lightning or was being struck literally while the bear's like, oh, that guy's distracted. I'm going to take this fish. Managed to fight the bear off with a tree branch. And then to make it even more crazy, Roy claimed that that was the 22nd time he had to hit a bear in his life.
Oh, my God. Okay, hang on. I'm sorry. Actually, this whole time we've been talking about him getting struck by lightning only seven times. And meanwhile, in the behind the scenes, this guy's just been fighting bears for fun.
I know. I think that maybe we all missed the other story, the other Guinness World Record for Roy.
Yeah. What?
I mean, he was a park ranger, but at the same time, what the fuck? Like I said, Roy's life, truly nuts. That dude had to have a shit ton of stories.
Oh my God.
So that was the...
What killed him?
Well, sadly...
Like, what, if anything, killed him?
Sadly, I'm going to tell you, and it's not great, but it wasn't lightning and it wasn't a bear, I'll tell you that much.
It's kind of a bummer.
It's kind of a bummer, yeah. So, poor Roy. He was a park ranger, and he really loved his job. He did that for almost 50 years, like I said, And that meant that he spent a lot of time out in the woods, outdoors, near wildlife, in storms, that kind of thing. So maybe he was just more at risk of running into bears and getting struck by lightning. But no one else, no other park rangers had these problems.
Just him.
Just him. There was just something special about Roy. He reportedly said, quote, "Some people are allergic to flowers. I'm allergic to lightning."
I think we're all allergic to lightning, Roy.
Roy had a little sense of humor. He also mentioned that he thought he must have some kind of like chemical or mineral in his body that made him super susceptible to lightning.
Ooh.
Just there had to be. I wonder if they studied him. Probably not.
Nah.
But they should have, obviously. Mm-hmm. And sadly, because Roy was struck by lightning so often, people started to avoid being around him, which really made him sad.
Oh.
Like, especially in bad weather, other rangers would just be like, bye, Roy, and run off in the other direction.
Oh.
And you can't really blame them. But
yeah, that's fair. He did get struck by lightning a lot.
You didn't want to be around Roy. So eventually... Roy retired from his park ranger job, which is nice. I can't believe it took him so long, to be honest. And I certainly hope he had some good years before he started getting struck by lightning all the time. But
maybe
we'll never know. And in 1983, unfortunately, Roy decided to take his own life.
No, I hate it.
I know.
I'm so mad. I knew this was where this was going, and I was getting mad at you.
At least it's not an animal death.
Humans are the worst kind of animal.
Oh, jeez. I know. It's really sad. And it's rumored that Roy completed suicide because of some problems he was having with his wife, but it seems a little more plausible that maybe his decision had something to do with all those lightning strikes. Like, maybe he just wasn't willing to stick around and see if he got an eighth one.
Dude.
I know. And there are
I hate that.
I know. I'm sorry. And there are some, like, odd details around his death. Like, I don't know how true they are, but there's some
Did
rumors.
Did he get murdered by the devil?
Not the devil. I mean, clearly, the devil had his chance and couldn't do it.
Yeah. True. Fair.
But there are rumors that his wife killed him.
Oh.
Because he shot himself in bed lying next to her and she didn't wake up. Or so she says.
Oh, Jesus.
For like hours after. And he like did it through a pillow, which I feel like might be hard to do yourself.
Well.
I feel like that. I don't know. There's some weird rumors about it. But it's also just sad to think that. You know, Roy took his own life. And yeah, that was in 1983. That's how he died.
I hate it.
I know. I'm sorry.
That makes me so sad.
Do you think?
You're right. It's that sad.
This is That Sad again.
This is That Sad.
The one and only episode. I also have an insensitive question.
Oh my God.
Do you think his gravestone has ever been struck by lightning?
I hope so.
Right? Like, keep it alive. Keep the mystery alive and the whatever that
keep a little consistency,
is.
You know?
Yeah. It would be pretty fucked up, though.
If I was him, I would have my gravestone made out of... Okay, actually, I don't think this is real. I think this is just something that they had on that movie Sweet Home Alabama. But when lightning strikes in the desert and then it's got, like, a glass sculpture from where the sand melted from the lightning.
Oh, yeah. Fucking that movie. That's what you want?
I don't know if that's real.
I don't know if it's real either. Does lightning really create glass?
But if it's real, and I was Roy, that's what I would want my gravestone to be made out of.
Yeah.
It's a real big one of those.
I wonder, interesting. I didn't even think about that. And I've seen that movie more times than I'd like to admit.
Yeah. Same, to be honest.
Oh, Roy. And as far as I know, or... from what information I could find, no other park ranger at the Shenandoah National Park in Virginia has ever been struck by lightning. And that's during the time Roy was alive and after. It was just him. He got it
wow.
7 times. No one else ever got it. And 2 of Roy's ranger hats with the black holes on top where you can actually see where the lightning like struck are actually on display at Guinness World Exhibit Halls. There's one in New York and one in South Carolina.
Wow.
And if you're curious, from 2009 to 2018, on average, 27 people died each year from lightning strikes in the United States. So it's very rare.
I was thinking 27 sounded like a lot.
Well, that's just like, I guess it could be. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of people in the United States. But still.
That's true. And those are just... That's not people being like struck by lightning. That's just those that died from it. Like Roy technically never died from being struck by lightning.
Yeah.
So he wouldn't even be
there.
I
like that you're like technically.
Technically he didn't.
Technically he never died.
Which is
in our hearts.
No. Spark Ranger will be in my heart forever, Christy.
Well, that was a fucking bummer.
I'm sorry, but I thought that was like the most interesting story. This man who was struck by lightning 7 fucking times, and he survived each one, and he was like relatively unharmed.
That's amazing to me.
And then for it all to end so sadly, like that should be a movie. I'm waiting for the Lightning Man movie.
Oh my gosh.
Greenlight it.
I have that power now that I'm in LA, so
it's true. You do.
That's just what happens. I don't know if you guys knew that.
If you move to LA, you can greenlight anything.
You can greenlight anything.
Start whatever project you want.
If you live here for a minimum of a year, they'll give you power to greenlight anything. That's what it is.
Incredible. Wow.
Incredible.
Wow.
Incredible. Amazing.
Beautiful. Great.
right. Well, mine is from Indiana.
Of course.
And actually, I have it's kind of short, but very weird. And so I have two. One is just a fact, and one is this one, which is the Great Squirrel Stampede of 1822.
That doesn't sound sad.
It's not.
Great. Well, great.
It's great. I mean, it's not good. Like, you don't want that to happen, but...
I'm so excited. Listen, I'm so excited.
I just thought, you know, it's Indiana. It's historical. It's got a weird animal component.
I love to see it.
You love to see it. Okay. 1800s. Indianapolis was just starting to be a thing. This has happened apparently more than once because the dates that people report kind of fudge sometimes. They're a little bit different sometimes. Like, it's known as the 1822 squirrel invasion. but also somebody writes about it and they say it happened in 1826. Basically, they call it a great immigration of squirrels.
Incredible.
And it's an immigration because it's not a migration because they're not going back home. They're just moving there forever and eating all of the crops.
Like the emus.
Exactly.
Incredible.
Like, I've seen one too many squirrels in one place, but this is like literally a stampede of squirrels. Like, the amount of squirrels that rolled into town vastly outnumbered the small amount of people that were in this fledgling city.
Incredible. I've said that 12 times already.
Yeah. It said they were there, like, kind of migrating from, like, west to east. So they stayed about 2 weeks. It says they destroyed all the cornfields they passed over. They could not be turned in their course, but went straight on and the route taken is what that says. Also, there's a river in that area near Noblesville, Indiana, which is like north and slightly east of Indianapolis. This guy writes about it. When they came to the river, it's called the White River, they just swam across. Like,
oh my God.
Thousands of squirrels just overran a town, ate all of their crops, and swam across a river.
I don't know if I've ever seen a squirrel swim.
I don't either.
Wait,
I'm sure they can. They have little arms.
They do have little arms and powerful little tails.
Yeah.
How many?
Powerful little tails. And people were like killing them like by the hundreds. Like, one farmer said he killed like 246 in one day. And he's like, and it did nothing. It did jack shit. And the best part about it is... okay, so this was devastating, actually, to the people whose entire cornfields were eaten by squirrels, obviously. But recently-ish, like, people, like, looked into it and, like, found all of these, like, reports by people who witnessed this happen. But before that, it was just kind of like a, like, folklore. Like, people were like, haha, yeah, squirrels, right.
They're like, that
but actually,
really
it really legitimately happened.
Oh, my God.
This is my favorite fact from it that someone wrote. And it's so telling and so Indiana that this is just supposed to be something that you understand. Here's what someone wrote. He says, many people lost whole cornfields. 12 squirrels were supposed to destroy as much corn as one hog.
One hog?
One hog. This is a unit of measurement in Indiana.
Do they?
How many squirrels? What's the squirrel to hog ratio? How much damage are they doing?
Do they have feral hogs in Indiana? Is that a thing there?
I don't think we have feral hogs. Like, I mean, people raise like pigs and stuff in Indiana.
Them other kinds of hogs.
The other kind of hog, the non-feral hogs, if you will.
Okay, good to know.
Domesticated hogs.
Love a good unit of measurement, like buttload or just like a hog. Like a, that's...
Right, it's just like, here's the thing. It didn't, nowhere in this report or anything, this is from, This is like a historical article on a Indiana library website. So nowhere in reference does it tell you how much corn a hog could destroy. Because as someone from Indiana, you can just picture it, kind of. That's my favorite part of this. Just chef kiss emoji. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're like, you know.
You know, like only 12 squirrels, a whole hog.
That is a lot. I mean, I'm having trouble picturing like how many nuts like 12 squirrels could go ham on, but I bet it'd be a lot.
Sure, it'd be a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Thousands of squirrels just overrunning the area. I can't even.
When you say thousands, what are we talking here?
Thousands of squirrels. I don't know. That here's something someone wrote talking about how they hunted the squirrels. So like when the squirrels pass through, here's what they said. In the fall, they pass through and like raid the cornfields. It says they come by the thousands for several days. And so they would wait. Like it said, they were so starved and footsore from traveling. The squirrels.
They were footsore.
They were footsore from traveling. And they wasn't fit to eat. So they patrolled the cornfields and just would only get the squirrels that had been eating for a little bit, I guess.
Wow.
Also, I think it's fun. So, like, you've heard of the Audubon Society.
Yes.
John James Audubon was alive during this time, and he witnessed several great squirrel immigrations, including ones that crossed the Ohio and Hudson rivers. So apparently a bunch of squirrels like constantly just cross rivers.
This is just a thing that they do.
This was just a thing. And he has a quote about it that like I had no idea. But I guess that farmers just sort of like eventually decided that that was realized it's a thing. Like it says, farmers in the western wilds regard them with sensations which may be compared to the anxious apprehensions of the eastern nations at the sight of a devouring locust.
Wow.
So it's just like squirrels would come on like a plague.
Plague of squirrels.
Squirrels! Can you imagine it?
It's cute but terrifying.
Like I'm imagining squirrels coming on to an Indiana town the way that molasses covered Boston.
Just everywhere.
Just everywhere.
Inescapable. Besides crops, did they ruin anything else? Did they like eat a person?
I don't know if they ate a person. The only information that I have on it is just a couple of things that people went digging and then they found people's actual accounts of it. And until then, it was kind of a myth.
Oh, wow.
Until somebody put all this together and was like, actually, this is a thing that happened. Like, I think part of it was just like Western expansion because it was like kind of weird. I think that squirrels were migrating from like west to east through Indiana. But when you put it together with the timing of it and like everybody was like settling and going west and like cutting down a shit ton of trees, there was just like displacing a bunch of squirrels.
And does it like, I wonder why they do this. They're just hungry or they like that many of them are like getting together and they're like, we're going, this is it. It's our time to move.
I don't know. I guess it sounds like they just got displaced, like a whole bunch of them. And then they all just went a different direction. And then they were like, also look at this, an entire field of food for us.
Yeah, they hit the jackpot in Indiana, I'm sure.
Absolutely. The best thing is, so there's a place in Indiana called Hamilton County, which is close to that area. And it's where they started to make squirrel statues.
What?
Like a fiberglass squirrel to like commemorate it.
How big is it? Like, is it the size of a squirrel or is it much larger?
Well, the picture in this article has a man making a wooden mock-up of a squirrel statue that is larger than he is.
Incredible.
incredible. And that's it, basically, is just like, what the fuck? There were squirrel stampedes in Indiana, and they've commemorated it with fiberglass squirrel sculptures. That's it. That's what I wanted to tell you about. I have another one.
Okay.
Because I thought that was interesting, but I didn't have enough details. Like, no, people didn't get eaten, so.
Yeah, the only way that story fits into our new That's Sad podcast is that I'm sad there is not more to hear about it.
Same, exactly. Here's another one. Also Indiana. Also something I didn't know. Apparently, Indianapolis has catacombs.
Ooh.
Like, literally ruins that are catacombs.
That's dope.
It's the best. It's called the City Market Catacombs, because there's this, like, city market area above ground that is, like, I guess, pretty popular to walk around. And then in the late 1880s, somebody built some catacombs down there. And apparently it was mostly just used for, like, transportation and storage. Although, there is a rumor, I guess, that at some point in its history, it was used as like temporary housing for homeless people. And a lot of those homeless people died and then left ghosts in there.
Oh, they left ghosts in there.
They left ghosts in there. Although I do feel like this is very, it's also very Indiana. It's like, yeah, we have catacombs, but like, they're not like European catacombs. There's no like skulls in here. It was mostly like for storage of corn, like everything else in Indiana.
Of course. Yeah, I was going
to
ask.
Something to store corn.
So they weren't made of bones then, those catacombs.
They were made, yeah. The walls are not made of bones. They're made of limestone. Go figure.
Oh.
That's a very Indiana thing. There's a bunch of limestone. So I thought it was fun because there are catacomb ruins in Indiana, which is funny to me. And also, there's a rumor that it's haunted and you can take a tour of it. And paranormal investigators have investigated it. But the best part is, like, they came out of it after, like, spending the night there and, like, investigating and trying to find the ghosts. And they're like, no, it seems fine. It's pretty calm down there, actually. You could see how it was mostly storage. There's no bodies.
So wholesome.
So wholesome.
They should have made it out of corn. I would have been pretty impressed if there was like an underground corn catacombs.
A cornicombs, if you will.
Correct.
No, that was bad. Take that out. Strike it from the record.
Never. Never.
So those are my two. I know they're not as juicy as other like Indiana scary things, but they are like just they're the two like weirdest Indiana things that I have to admit I had absolutely no idea about.
That's just some super fun, weird Indiana history.
Yeah. And I feel like that's kind of like when we started, I had a lot of those. So I wanted to just hit on something Indiana that was weird just for old time's sake.
Oh, I love it. I'll never forget where I was when I learned about Holiday World.
Oh my God. Amazing.
Amazing. I have a weird fact for you as well.
Oh, okay.
I recently told some friends about this and they were deeply disturbed. So I thought I would share with everyone else.
This is the place for that. Yes.
Exactly. In Iceland, at the Museum of Sorcery and Witchcraft, there is the only known pair of nebrok, which I don't know if I'm saying that right, otherwise known as necro pants or corpse breeches.
Please, corpse breeches.
These are literally pants made out of a man's bottom half, the skin. Like, that person was just skinned, and you can wear them if you want to. You'd probably be cursed forever.
Yep, absolutely. 100%.
They're, I guess, like coins in the feet of the pants, and the whole thing was used for like rituals or something, and you had to like pass the pants on to another person. Like, as soon as you took them off, someone else had to put those pants on, and they are disturbing, and they are hanging there in the museum.
Oh my God.
And you can see the dude's like dick swinging. There's like they skinned that too.
They skin that too. Wow.
Like I said, deeply.
The precision.
Yes, it's true. Also, somewhere in like the Wikipedia that I was reading said that you had to get permission before you made these pants.
Who's going to give you permission for that?
I don't know, but I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask somebody. Like, I'm sure.
That's amazing. Like, don't worry, dude. We'll skin the dick too.
We'll keep it. We'll keep it.
Don't even worry.
It's coming with the pants. Yeah, you got to get permission before you skin a dead body for and make pants. Those are just the rules in Iceland, which I think is very polite.
I mean, I guess if, at least there's that. Like, that's all I can say to that one. Just at least there's that. Wow.
Yeah, there you go. Now you know about that. You'll never be able to say you hadn't heard about necro pants / corpse britches, which is a great word for them. That's a great name.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this is a good, like, this episode you learned about Lightning Man. You learned about, wait, was it a squirrel stampede?
It was the Great Stampede. The Great Squirrel Stampede.
Incredible. You learned about catacombs in Indiana, and you learned about necropants.
Wow.
What other podcast gives you all of that and a few chuckles? Come on.
Well, you better find another podcast soon.
Well,
that'll give you all that.
Because we done. Our job is done here.
We done. Dust off these hands.
We done did it.
We did it.
100 times even.
Wow.
Hey, congrats. High five through the computer. Thank you for the sound effect. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, that's it.
That's truly, really it. I don't know how to like end this one. Oh, do you want to say like where people can find the real you? We might still post on that.
Well,
that's weird.
So,
but...
okay. I'm being a comedian and making real dumb videos, and everything that I'm on online is basically my first and last name, Christy Brannon.
You're easy to find.
I'm easy to find, but hopefully not too easy because I don't want anybody to come murder me.
Someone's real mad that we're ending the podcast and they're going to come get you.
You know what? Murdering me won't help. If you murder me, there can never be a reunion episode.
That's very
true. Just remember
true.
That.
Oh, yeah. We have dreams of a reunion episode. We're also having a real reunion. I'm going to be in LA next month, so we're going to see each other. It'll be fun.
Yeah, we're going to see each other, and we're still doing shit that you can consume. Ashley's, what are you doing? You tell them.
you tell them.
You tell them. Tell them what you're up to.
I am working on my new podcast, but I have absolutely no idea if it'll ever be done or when. But on my personal accounts, I'm at Pepper Ashley. Ashley has two Y's because some bitch took it with that just the first Y. I don't want to hear about it.
Damn.
Yeah, the worst. And then I also have like a little podcast company called Cosmic Bigfoot that you can find on Instagram and Twitter. And that's just at Cosmic Bigfoot. That's probably where I'll post about the new podcast.
What a perfect name.
Isn't it wonderful? I like it a lot.
I love it. Very on brand for you, which is great because it's literally your brand.
It is. I know. I got a crazy fucking tattoo one time and it has changed my life.
Wow. Just the one time.
I'm covered in ridiculous
The other
tattoos.
Tattoo is totally normal. That one, crazy.
I now tell everyone that like Halloween vase is a haunted like vintage Halloween vase after you said that.
Wait, which one?
I got a new one that's like, it's like a, it has like a jack-o'-lantern face on it, but it's like vintage and creepy looking.
Oh, yeah.
And you were like, is this haunted? Like, yes, it is now.
Yes. How could it not be? I just don't even.
But yeah, so I'm still going to make podcasts and they'll be about mysteries, but probably just like Pacific Northwest mysteries because that's where I live and I like it up here. And we have lots of good stuff to go off of. So
that's true.
And that's it. And you're making videos and doing stand up. And
yeah, I'm over here trying to be funny, I guess.
I guess. I mean, whatever.
Maybe one day I'll succeed. We'll see.
You never know.
You never know.
But yeah, that's where you can find us. And of course, you can look at our show notes at thatsweird.org. We'll still have the accounts and everything up for That's Weird Cast. We might even post there sometimes. You never know. If we find a good meme we need to share.
Yeah. I mean, or if you want to like talk to us or whatever, like we'll still continue our usual reading everything and rarely responding.
Yes. Know that we are always watching.
We're like Big Brother.
Yes, exactly.
But hotter.
We're your weird, creepy older sister or something. Oh, wait, no, we're your weird aunts. I forgot about that.
I do love that theme.
Yeah, weird aunts.
It's us, your weird aunts.
I don't know what's going to happen with the Facebook group. We're not deleting it, so feel free to keep posting in there. I mean,
yeah, it'll still be open for all that's weird and memes and shit.
Yeah, and this is your last chance to access Patreon because we are going to shut that down because we don't want people giving us money for nothing. So if you're already in there, I will be sending out whatever I have left, pins and stickers and stuff, in sometime in February. That's patreon.com/weird. And wait, what did I just say? patreon.com/that's weird.
I think so.
And then after that, I guess we'll figure out how to deactivate it or whatever.
Yeah. RIP.
RIP. And you can always email us. That's weirdcast@gmail.com. Yeah. Reach out, stay in touch and stay weird. You guys,
we love you.
We love you so much. Goodbye.
Bye.